Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us.
Welcome to the Open Doors podcast. I'm Neil Lozano, and I will be your host today. I don't get to do this that often, and I'm just thrilled to do it today because I'm here with my friend, John Doman. I've known John and his beautiful wife, Michelle, for over 35 years. John has 10 children and 56 grandchildren.
Yep.
And he's led an amazing life. I don't know anybody more devoted than John and Michelle to bringing their family up to know the Lord and to know the truth. All their children are grown. Among their children are worship leaders and Christian authors and ministry leaders. But most of all, they're moms and dads committed to Jesus and committed to raising their families for Him.
Amen.
Some of you met their daughter, Alicia Hernan, through the podcast that she and her husband, Mike, did with Matt and Jen, as they shared about their international ministry called Messy Families.
Right.
I have to say that my children have been blessed to and privileged to grow up with the Doman family. And it's been a blessing for me and just everyone watching how this family has been raised and sent out. Currently, John and I are together in a men's sharing group. John and a number of the other men that we met years ago, who are seeking to serve the Lord as part of the House of God's Light community. We're still together, and we still have a men's group. And it's just so good at this time of our lives to be able to come together with men that really know you and men that you admire.
Yeah.
So as I was preparing for this interview today, I was thinking of two truths that I want to just present to you as we begin, because they're really going to be clearly present in John's story. The first truth is that God has plans. He has good plans. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God has good plans for each of us. And the second thought I wanted to just bring to your attention today, the second truth, is that God is good. Now, for many, many years, I've been in groups that, you know, declare God is good, and then the response is all the time, and God is good. And yet, it's only been, I shouldn't say that, but in the last year or so, I've just been reflecting a lot about the goodness of God. And that kind of declaration that we make together is somehow taken on a new meaning, or rather, it's looking back at it and saying, boy, I was saying that, but I really wasn't focused on how good God is. As you listen to John's story, you might reflect on your own life to think about different things that have happened to you, tragedies that have come your way, or some way that evil has impacted your life. Well, there's one constant in all of that for us, and that is that God is good. And if we recognize His presence and His goodness, His goodness will be present to bring good out of evil for all of us. There's always a greater good that is waiting for us to be revealed and received. And so I'm excited to have you here, John, to share your story. So welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's great. So before you share some of your faith journey,
right,
I thought it'd be great if you started with what happened last Memorial Day, which was such an extraordinary event.
I volunteered to go into the Marines 56 years ago.
Wow.
And ended up in Vietnam, that whole war, the whole thing was a messy war. Talk about messy families, that was a messy war. And I was seriously injured there. I lost my left leg, had other severe injuries on my body, but tried to bury a lot of those memories. I went through PTSD, drank too much. So that happened 56 years ago. Well, about 4 months ago, I get this email from Ray Fernandez. And Ray, he found me through a website called Together We Serve. That website allows veterans of all wars to go there, put their profile on, so they can be contacted by lost friends. Well, Ray found me on that website, and he started out his little email to me. He said, "Lieutenant Doman, I know you don't remember me, but I remember you so clearly, because I was the young Marine who, after the explosion, when you were seriously injured, I picked you up and carried you to the helicopter, the medevac helicopter." Wow. 56 years ago, I did not remember the name Ray Fernandez, but, you know, I remembered his face, because as he was carrying me across this rice paddy to the medevac helicopter, which was waiting, I looked at him, and I was passing in and out of consciousness because I was bleeding a lot, and I remember his face. And I hadn't seen that face in 56 years, but this past Memorial Day, like you mentioned, Ray and I and some of our family members got together to celebrate a life that we both survived, that we're both here. Isn't that a great story? Yeah, we cried. We laughed. My son Joe was there and my daughter Jessica. And it was so good for them to see this man who saved their father's life, who picked me up when I was almost dead and got me to the helicopter. You know, the TV show MASH? Mm-hmm. It was just like that. I remember getting in the helicopter, and Ray said he remembers I gave him a thumbs up, you know, and then I probably passed out. And then I remember getting off the helicopter in Da Nang Field Hospital, and it was just like, da, 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 da. Nurses running out, you know, and all that whole scene, if you were familiar with from the movies. But thank God for those men and women who were there that day, who helped save my life, because I just about died. Yeah, my leg was shredded, and so they had trouble. Whoever was holding that leg and the other leg and the two arms, they were having trouble. I was bleeding a lot. It was very slippery. So Ray said to the other three Marines, he says, "Let me take him. I got him." And Ray picked me up like a baby, and I'm looking at his face and passing in and out, and he carries me to the helicopter. What a guy. What a hero, right? It's overwhelming. Yeah. And remember, so I hadn't seen anybody. I did not make contact with Ray, like I said, until a couple of months ago, before Memorial Day. Yeah, so it was a great get-together. So that's the story.
Well, that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
As I said, I've known John for a long, long time, and he always reminds me, I wasn't in the Marines, I am a Marine.
Correct.
And so that was something I learned from you and minded of many times when I've met Marines.
Yeah. Well, what it is, we were not a support unit. We were like the tip of the spear. We were the guys walking through the rice paddies in booby-trapped areas. We were the tip of the spear.
Mm.
And the area we were in the day I was wounded, the Viet Cong had been mortaring the Da Nang airfield from that area. So our commanders sent us to that area to find these Viet Cong and to, eliminate them. It's a harsh way to say it, but that's what it was about. And they were trying to eliminate me and my men. So war is a dirty, nasty, evil thing. It really is. And
but the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
He sent Ray to save you.
Yep.
And in the hospital and all the workers and everything. But
right.
But the Lord had already. Maybe you could tell the story about how the Lord saved you, where he rescued you spiritually, and how you came to him.
Yeah, after we were married, in the early part of our marriage, we went to a Bible seminar in Philadelphia Civic Center, which is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Bible conference. You know, we're Catholic, not real big on the Bible, at least at that time I wasn't. And we went to this Bible seminar for 5 evenings and all day Saturday. And we learned how to, we received teachings on how to live our lives according to the Bible. He was a solid Bible teacher, and just his words touched my heart. And at the, I think it was Friday evening, he asked anybody who wants to give their heart to Christ to not come forward, not to stand up, but just raise your little hand so he can get some feedback. And I remember that just like it was yesterday. I raised my hand, and I, at the same time, gave my heart to Christ. And I've never been the same.
That's great.
I remember how you change, how I had to change decisions I had to make. At that time, this is back in the 70s, there was no internet. There was no pornography online. It was on magazines. And I had a stack of Playboy magazines in my closet at home. And when I got home from that conference, I said, something has to change here. And I told Michelle, I said, I'm throwing them out. She said, good. So I got rid of those. And then we started to tithe 10% of our income to the Lord, set up a separate checking account, and come. And we've been doing that ever since that time, over all these years.
Now, John, I don't know if you remember, but we did compare notes. And I think the conference that I went to was the same one you were at.
Really?
And I don't remember the raising of the hand.
Yeah.
I think I had already raised my hand before that conference. So.
Yeah, but that conference changed our lives. It was the beginning of a journey. You know, we're never done. We're all on a journey, even to this day.
That's right.
And it's exciting.
So was this before Vietnam or after Vietnam?
This was after Vietnam.
So what level of faith did you have to go through this experience of your injury? And
I remember the day that medevac helicopter brought me into the field hospital. I remember them putting me on a slate table with troughs down the side, and they were cutting my clothes off, getting me ready for surgery. And the last thing I remember before I passed out, a Catholic priest came in. He was right behind me. I looked up, and there was this Roman collar, and he was giving me the last rites. They didn't expect me to live because I was really lost so much blood. But that was the beginning of something. I remember that comfort I received as a young Catholic man to know that the priest was there and I was receiving extra mixture.
So you were Catholic.
Yes.
Where was your faith level at that point?
Very little faith. I was all messed up as far as morality and stuff like, you know, stuff that young men do. And especially as a young Marine, being away from home, I got in a lot of trouble, you know. So, my faith level was very low at that point.
And so that was a seed when the priest gave you.
That was the beginning.
So that was a seed, and then you woke up. You went through a horrific rehab. Now, were you married at the time?
No. Yeah, I knew Michelle before I went to Vietnam, and shortly after we came back, I was injured in January of 67. We were married by August of 68. So I knew her for about a year before we got married, and she is the key person in my life as far as leading me to closer to God, because she was always very close, but she'll tell you, looking back on it, she wasn't, but she was on a journey like myself. And we walked together in our marriage, in our with our children, trying to be better people, trying to live the commands that Christ gave us to feed the poor, feed the hungry, visit those in prison, which we do today through the Alpha Prison Ministry. Yeah, so Michelle was key to my coming to know the Lord.
Did you both always want to have a big family?
We never really talked. Well, we used to joke. people would say, well, how many kids are you guys going to have? And I would say, 32. Yeah. And we weren't thinking anything, but it turned out that's the way it worked out, that it was easy for Michelle to have children, and I had a good income, and we were able to support the kids, put them through college and all that. But it's been a journey, you know, so many ups and downs, so much pain and suffering with the children, children getting hurt, excursions to the emergency room and kids getting hurt and stuff. Remember Martin cut his arms and stuff? Remember that?
Was it a last pain he put his hand through?
And he and his brother were fighting and Martin put his hand through a plate glass window and ripped off most of his blood vessels in both arms. So that was exciting.
But all those events led you up to being a grandpa. I think it happened yesterday. You would tell me yesterday that there was a car accident?
Yes, I was with one of my grandsons. He wanted to drive. He's a new driver. He's 18. He said, Grandpa, can I drive your car? I said, sure. His mother assured me he was a good driver. And we went up to the swim club to pick up three of my grandchildren who were finishing up their swimming lessons. And they were in the back seat, and I was in the passenger seat, and Jimmy is in the front seat. And we come to this intersection, and Jimmy had to make a left turn, and he pulled right in front of an oncoming car. Destroyed my car. I mean, it was, anyway, yes, it was exciting. And I stopped there after the shock of the explosion of the cars coming together. And I put my arm around Jimmy and I said, Jimmy, we'll never forget this day. And I'm not angry at you. I forgive you. You made a simple mistake. But you and I are always going to remember this moment. And we're bonded together because of it. So just relax, my grandson.
It really struck me when we spoke yesterday, and you were speaking just like that. And I imagined myself having all kinds of mixed emotions about losing my car and should I, you know, all these things. But you focused on you focused on what was really the heart of the issue.
That's right.
In the presence of all those tragedies and circumstances, there is the goodness of God. And you can grab hold of it and you can lean into it. You are an inspiration to me.
That means a lot coming from you, brother.
And I guess I also have to say that through the years, you know, your leg has been, you know, sometimes the apparatus works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you're in great pain. And most of the time you're just like doing the next thing, whatever. And Michelle has lots of energy.
Yes, she does.
And she says yes to everything, I think. And you're always right there.
I try to support her as much as I can. She is like an energizer bunny. You wind her up in the morning and she just goes all day long and then she collapses in the evening. But she is an amazing woman of God. Mm-hmm. And we pray together every day. We pray out loud. We do the liturgy of the hours in the morning, you know. And it's become a way of life for us, that prayer together. And it's exciting. And we do night prayer together, so. Yeah. We pray for 56 grandkids and our 10 kids and our sons-in-laws, daughters-in-laws. There's always something to pray for because there's always something going on when you have a large family.
So if Ray didn't get you to that helicopter,
yes,
there'd be 56 plus 10, there'd be 66 people that don't exist.
I'm reminded of that by my son, Martin. He always says to me, he says, Dad, if it wasn't for you, none of my brothers or sisters would be here. So thank you for being open to life. Mm-hmm. You know, Martin is such a blessing to me.
Yeah.
They all are blessings to me. Family life is a great adventure. Last night we went to a talk that Alicia and Michael gave. They have an organization called Messy Family. Mm-hmm. And I sat there as part of the audience, and Michael opened up with a prayer. And you could just feel the Holy Spirit entering that room. It was such an anointed prayer. And their whole talk, it's the first time I heard their canned talk, what they give every place they're invited. But the message they give is so needed in today's society, the attack on the family, the attack on individuals. It was just so beautiful to be there, sitting there. listening to their presentation and looking at the young couples. Their body language showed me they were listening. They needed to hear the message that Michael and Alicia were given to them. So it was just so beautiful. Yeah.
So they're a real sign of hope to so many.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people that we meet, there's no preparation for family life, you know, so yeah, that they just were going to repeat what happened before. And then they come to the Lord and they don't want to do it the way it was done before. And they're searching. And one of the great resources is the Messy Family Project that they lead. And it brings hope. So it's like the multiplication from number one, that moment that you were rescued. Then the seed that was planted when you looked up and saw that priest.
Right.
And then it coming to life at that conference. Then the commitment you made to walk it out.
Yep.
And it's brought hope to so many people. So many people talk about you and Michelle.
Thank you. A big factor in our family life was our life at the House of God's Light. And you and John Rogers and a whole gang of leaders we have just was so important to our family development. We had like five children, I think, when we joined the House of God's Light, and we were looking for a group of young parents who felt the same way we did about our faith. And the House of God's Light met that need with Bill Drennan inviting us. And so that was a big impact on our family life. And many of our children came to faith through the different meetings and camps and stuff that the House of God's like, the vacations.
Yeah, the vacations were great.
Cape Hatteras.
We benefited, everybody benefited so much from Alicia and Martin in particular and their music. You have other musicians, but those are the ones that I remember stepping up at the gatherings.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it was wonderful, wonderful. Happy memories.
Yeah, very, very happy. So why don't we, is there anything you would like to say to the listeners today, if there's one thing that you want to communicate from your life or just some one point that you'd like?
Yeah, never lose hope, no matter how things, life is tough. One of the hardest parts of our family life was when our grandson Joshua was accidentally killed in a terrible accident. And I remember his funeral. We were at this church down in Virginia, and our whole family was there, my brothers and sisters, and everybody that knows us was there. It was such a tragedy. Everybody was sad. But I never forget, we were praising the Lord through song. I forget what song. I wish I could remember it right now, but it was an appropriate song for this terrible thing that happened. So, never give up. God is good all the time. You might not see his goodness, but through that accident, I'm sorry, it sounds sometimes hard to say to the secular world today, that through that tragedy, it brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua is now with the Lord. We know that. There's nothing to be sad about. It was sad that he left us so early, and it was so sad for his parents, my daughter Regina and her husband Andrew, people of great faith. And I'll never forget that Andrew tells a story when they were in the emergency room and the doctor declared Joshua to be dead. Andrew said, I put my hand on Joshua's head. I said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Glory to God.
Yep.
I think that's a good place to end with, and just to turn to the Lord in prayer.
Yep.
So Lord, we are, I'm so thankful for John's life. I thank you that you saved him in Vietnam. Thank you that he was an instrument, Lord, of life. I thank you for his family and his grandchildren and the great-grandchildren that are to come. I thank you, Father, for the message of hope that he brings, that there's always hope because you are present, because of your goodness. And Lord, I especially thank you for this closing word about Joshua's dad, this placing his hands upon his son who had just passed away and said, blessed is the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Yes. And we just invite, I just invite all of our listeners that are right now recognizing something that they've lost. I invite you right now to just call to mind the goodness of God and to surrender what you've lost to Him and to trust Him with that empty place in your heart. Trust Him with that agony that you carry or the torment or whatever it might be, because God is good and He is present to you. Every time you call upon His name, He comes. He never comes in condemnation or judgment. He comes in comfort. He comes in His goodness. So Lord, we, by Your Holy Spirit, I ask You to release on all of our listeners a deeper sense of Your goodness and that You have a plan for every one of us. And so, Father, we thank You for this truth and for this hope. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
So thanks, John, for being with us and sharing your story. It's just been a great delight.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.